This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Sports Radio 99 The Game and 99TheGame.com. Into the 7 o'clock hour on this Sunday morning. Glad you're with us. Sam Crenshaw along with Jason Longshore. Greg on assignment. Can we blame that on the rain?
We can. He might be trying to figure out the actual singers of this.
That's the thing you want to figure out, who really did sing it, right?
Yeah, that's what he's he's working on. He's probably working on a documentary about it right now.
Noel probably knows.
I wish I could take credit for requesting Milli Vanilli, but I cannot. Track was amazing, though, back in the day.
Wasn't it? Glad you're with us this morning. Noel, I don't know if that was a favorite tune of Noel's or not. I don't know if she liked that one.
What, this one? It's one of my favorite bad songs. Like, when I found out Diane Warren wrote this, I couldn't believe it. and then on top of that, she tried to give it to Whitney Houston. I couldn't believe that one either.
Ooh, Whitney singing that.
Yeah, Clive said, no, I got something bigger, better.
Much I better. Could see her doing that. Yeah, I could have seen that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, the vocal on her would have sounded really.
Yeah, you could have had her do that.
Honestly, the vocal on the black guys that were in Germany for some reason sounds really good. But
hey, man, them dudes lost me when they came on Soul Train and Don Cornelius couldn't interview them.
Yeah, because they couldn't say nothing. it was like that old SNL skit with Grant Morris. Baseball was very, very good to me.
Yes.
That's basically what that interview was like.
How did we all fall for that back in the day?
Because they say every
it
tour.
Good.
They say
did
every.
It?
It was on. That was the day MTV, man.
I mean, it didn't really.
The choreography going with the hair swinging around.
It wasn't like it was good dancing at that point. You know, I mean, there was activity happening, but I don't know if I'd call it good.
Now, they say every show there was like some type of incident with the backing track. But like,
they weren't even good at doing that aspect of it, which is a problem.
But it worked out because, one, we didn't have social media yet, and two, everybody that was there didn't care. They were just like, yay, Milli Vanilli, downtown Julie Brown.
Yeah, they
didn't care.
It's crazy. You could not pull that off today.
Oh, no.
But
oh,
they
no.
knew, though. Like, Arista knew that the Grammy was the death nail.
Yeah.
It was like,
oh, you knew you were going to get found out at that point. Yeah. No, yeah, you don't need to get us into that award at all.
That's a telescope. That's a microscope.
We'll get a VMA.
Close.
We don't need a Grammy.
Yeah, no. We don't even want to be nominated. We'll come and perform. But
yeah. They thought we had it because we were blaming on the rain. We blame on the rain that we got some power outages around the area. Hope all is well wherever you are. And if the sun comes up here in a little bit here, you move around. If you don't have to come out, you know, just wait until all the rain subsides and.
Bunch of branches down getting over here. Not anything too big, but there were a lot of things in the road that shouldn't have been. So be careful.
Absolutely. And some lights, hoping to get some traffic lights on. And we always know what kind of problem that causes where people may not know the rules of the road. That's just normal.
The lights can be functioning. People don't know the rules of the road around here.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yep. So just be on the lookout for that around the area. I think we got about 40,000 Fulton County lights out, and around the state about 125,000, I think, Georgia Power is saying, as we're monitoring that on the screen here in our Kia studios, where we are, you know, nice and dry and warm. And glad that you're with us on this Sunday morning. Got a few things to run out. Obviously, later on today, We got college basketball here. We got Michigan against Ohio State. That's big in whatever they play, right?
Yeah, that's big in anything.
Hopscotch, double dutch, Michigan against Ohio State. Everybody shows up in their hostel. Pre-game is at 12:45. Tip is at 1 o'clock. You can hear it right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, where yesterday you heard Atlanta United.
You did.
They get us all excited. Get excited because it's coming. It's here.
I had to steal Mike's line because Saba Lobjanidze scored a couple of goals, so I had to call it a sabotage. It just happened naturally. I don't like to take people's lines.
You have to call him and ask for permission.
No, I just went for it. I kind of talked through it. I was doing like production as I'm doing play by play in this, and I'm sitting there. I'm like, I don't want to steal Mike's line, and I just did it anyway. So I have to apologize to Mike on that one. But it's such a good line, you have to take it. Like, I didn't feel right doing the Boom Yakamakis back in the day.
Right, right.
This one, it felt right, and it was such a good goal from Saba to open things up. You'll hear all that later. We'll get deeper into kind of what we learned in that game. Three halves, 135 minutes of preseason soccer.
Surprise for you.
Yeah, no, I mean, I found out Thursday. It was a surprise for everybody who was listening. Like, wait a minute, how is this going to work? Okay.
All right, all right, all right. We mentioned college basketball. Run down a few scores. Georgia home yesterday against Missouri. Georgia woes continue. They're already on the bubble right now, folks. Georgia's got to get some wins, and the conference is tough.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it's. Is it the best conference in the country this season?
Without
probably. You got
right
one, two. You know, yeah. I mean, it's legit. So it's this thing, and. You know, I went to Georgia, and I probably at that time in the mid-90s, because I was there for Tubby Smith's 2 years. I was there for Jumaine Jones. I was there for that era, D.A. Lane at the end of it.
Yeah.
And I loved the basketball experience as much or more than the football experience. It was great. It's just never been consistently at that kind of level. I love the Mike White hire. I think they started the season great.
Yep. And they brought some of that vibe back. It became
a little bit.
It became a tough place for opponents to get a win.
Yeah, and then you get into conference, and it's not quite the same. And, you know, are they getting found out? Is it just they're playing over their heads a little bit early on? You know, the expectations, and, you know, you talk to somebody like Kyle Sandy, and you hear about high school basketball in the state and how good it is and how many top players go to different places. The college basketball in the state for a little while now hasn't been at that kind of a level. It feels like it should be at a better level.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. We'll get into that in a little bit about maybe why that's happening, right?
Okay.
Other teams, Georgia Tech was a winner 90-88 over Cal. That's right, folks. Cal, a member of the ACC.
Still weird.
When they became members of the ACC, a Cal billboard came up on the downtown connector.
Yep.
I was like, what the heck are we doing with a California billboard? Anyway, Tech trending in the right direction here as we get to head down to the stretch in the college basketball season. Noel, I think we have something from Coach Damon Stoudemire. Let's hear, Coach. They do have the wins to show. So they're playing better basketball over at Georgia Tech. It's been that team that's gone through, you know, times they had a bug going through the whole team. Then you had some injuries and seemed like they're getting everybody back healthy and ready to play at the same time. It's great to see Georgia Tech get back and have a good run in the ACC tournament, which right now you got Duke and Clemson, who they've beaten. You know, that's it in the ACC. That's unbelievable for ACC basketball.
Yeah, it's weird to see the SEC where it is and the ACC where it is in basketball.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. The basketball league. So we'll keep an eye on that. Got some other scores to run down for you. Georgia State was a winner over App State. Panthers are trending in the right direction, 70-65. They beat a good App State team yesterday. Kennesaw State falls on the road at Sam Houston, 78-76. Tough loss for them out there. The alma mater, West Georgia, gets a win at Bellarmine up in Kentucky, 81-76.
How's the transition to D1 working for West Georgia?
It's been bumpy.
Yeah, I mean, it's expected.
It's been bumpy, but it looks like they've had great recruiting classes. I run into some of the assistant coaches at some games, and they had a really good recruiting class for football. Shout out to Coach Joel Taylor. And they, you know, in basketball, is in the gym over at Holy Innocence on MLK Holiday. Saw some coaches in there looking at some of the local area talent.
Good, good.
And so we'll see what happens as they go into their second season as a Division I program.
It's interesting to see like that level at D1. I think we're even going to see it at D2 and D3 as you're in the portal era and you're in the NIL era where players have in the past gone to a Georgia or a Georgia Tech to be part of a big program, they might be better served to go to West Georgia, have a year or two, do really well, and then if they get the chance to go bigger, they can go bigger. Like, that door's open now.
Yep.
And then you get the reverse. The guys who are on those bigger teams that aren't playing and want to play, then maybe they come to a West Georgia. So it's like you're almost recruiting in three different ways.
Yep.
You're trying to get the high school kids. You're trying to get the kids at the bottom of a Power Four conference.
Right.
And then you're trying to get the ones who are kind of bubble and have those big aspirations but aren't getting the spot. Hey, come here, prove yourself. We'll happily, like, you know, set you up for success.
And see, what you're saying keeps coaches and recruiting coordinators at these colleges so they can't sleep at night,
that's
right?
That's three different tracks of recruiting you got to follow.
Absolutely. And it is a necessity, absolute necessity in this day and time. A couple other scores for your clock. Atlanta was a winner over Edward Waters, 83-75. Morehouse went all the way out to the West Coast because they were in the HBCU All-Star Weekend Classic. Tuskegee beat them 68-56. Now, you talked about players going out of state. And one thing they do at All-Star Weekend, they have the finalists for the Naismith Hall of Fame. Two names came up that jumped off the board for me and for folks who lived in this area: Dwight Howard and Maya Moore. Mm-hmm. And to think of them as possibility of getting into the Hall of Fame is remarkable. I always root for folks that I covered in high school.
Yeah.
For Hall of Fame. I think about folks like Calvin Johnson. I'm like, I know all the way back. So excited for those two. But they were really game changers for this area. When you think about, you know, Dwight and really Lou Williams, they were right around all the same time. They went straight to the NBA.
Yep.
Maya, instead of going to Georgia, goes to UConn. And the parade outside of the state has been continuing for the top girls players in the state for some time. I don't know how to put the genie back in the bottle over in Athens.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like maybe that parade out of the state started before it did on the boys' side.
Yep.
And, yeah, Georgia, you know, I go back to the Saudi Roundtree days where they were, you know, 80s maybe higher up, 90s they were still really right there, but underneath Tennessee at that time.
Right.
And since Maya Moore didn't go to Georgia, they haven't been at that same level on a regular basis. But nobody else in the state has either.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's true. But I mean, she kind of like laid the groundwork for that, and all she did was win.
And there's talent. That's the other thing, is like, it's the same that we just talked about in the boys. Like, there's so much talent in girls' high school basketball here, but they're not going to in-state schools.
No.
You know, so why? And what can change that? It feels like there's a disconnect.
Yeah. We'll see what happens around. We'll see what happens as far as that goes. Of course, those scouts and those recruiters right now, they're busy with their team, the college teams, but the talent's going to be on display down in Macon, you know, in a couple of weeks for the state basketball championships, as we just talked with Kyle Sandy. All right, speaking of moving fast, folks, hey, they're getting ready to fire the engines and go racing down at Daytona. And Adam Alexander is going to join us. Man, goodness, he's doing the things at different places. He's with Prime, with CW, TNT, as NASCAR goes streaming big time this year. He's going to join us next to give us a preview for the Great American Race. It is Sam. It is Jason and Whale, other side of the glass, on this Sunday morning here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9TheGame.com. Sam and Jason with Greg on assignment, we think. Maybe he's hanging out at Bucky's. We don't know. But anyway,
he is.
Hey, it's time to go racing. You know who we always love to have? We're playing his music. Adam Alexander joining us now as we get set for racing at Daytona later today. They're moving the race up to 1:30. Think may have some inclement weather coming through. Adam, good morning to you.
What's happening, Sam? How are you?
Doing great. Great to hear your voice. And knowing it's been a very eventful week down at Daytona, how would you sum up what we've seen down there so far?
You know, it's been very energized, I would say, Sam. And I said this on the air a couple of times when we were doing the broadcast on CW, and I've shared it with some other media interviews that I've done. And you know, it just amazes me, and you've been a part of this, and you understand the magnitude of it. But every time you come down to Daytona in February, it just never disappoints. And the storylines are always plentiful, and with it being the beginning of the year, and then you multiply that with the biggest race, it really just brings this enthusiasm that is hard to match. And I would say that 2025 is no different. So tremendous anticipation coming into this week. It continues to build and build and build, and now today we get the Super Bowl of stock car racing with the Daytona 500.
Moving the race up an hour, what are the conditions looking like, and how might that affect things?
It's good now, but I think, you know, that was the whole reason in saying let's move this thing up is just to try to get in front of it, and I'm glad NASCAR does that, and they've become open-minded to that in recent years. It hasn't always been that way. And so, you know, every little bit can help, and You don't want this race to be interrupted. And I'm, you know, of the thought process that I hope either we move it up and they can run it and get it in before the weather hits, or the weather hits and then we just do it tomorrow, whatever. This is a race to me that is so much better when it's not stop and go and stop and go. And when drivers can get out there and find their rhythm and run it start to finish without having to figure out, you know, and wait and all that stuff. I think it's just a much better product.
Folks, he's on the call for CW yesterday for the Xfinity Series race, but also during the course of the season, you'll be able to see him on Amazon Prime Video and on Turner Sports. Adam Alexander with Sam and Jason this morning here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Okay, this is the race where it doesn't really matter where you start. I heard something this week that the person who starts on the pole hadn't won this race since like 2000 or 2001. So it really makes.
Yeah, I think it was Dale Jarrett, I think, in 2000. Yeah.
Yeah, so last time. So people are starting at different places. Chase Briscoe's on the pole. But to me, one of the great stories is who's going to start 19th in car 40. Justin Allgaier. Talk a little bit about that story. That has to be something that everyone's is going to really pull at everybody's heartstring for being something sentimental today.
Well, people for a long time have wondered, when is Junior Motorsports going to get into cup racing? Why don't they buy a charter? Why don't they go cup racing? And it was announced in the offseason, Dale Jr., Kelly Earnhardt Miller, and L.W. Miller, Kelly's husband, they announced, they lead Junior Motorsports, they announced, we're going to enter a car in the Daytona 500. And then they announced late in the year, Justin Allgaier, who's the reigning Xfinity champ that's been driving for Dale Jr. for a number of years at that level, is going to drive it. And the deal was, they don't have a charter, so they've got to get into the race. And, you know, Hendrick Motorsports has been great down here in qualifying forever. I mean, it was just like appointment TV to put them on the pole every year on qualifying night. And Hendrick Motorsports was going to be a huge supporter of this JRM car that was trying to make the 500. So everyone thought they'll just get in on speed on Wednesday and qualifying being an open car. They didn't. So now they have to race their way in on Thursday night. And it was quite dramatic watching their qualifying race, their duel play out, because with a couple laps to go, it didn't look like Justin was going to make it. And this story of Dale Jr. finally getting into cup racing and putting a car in the 500 just wasn't going to pan out. And Justin really put it on his shoulders and made some incredible moves and got some help in the draft, and he was able to race his way into the 500. And with that, Dale Jr. and Junior Motorsports will have an entry in today's race. And, you know, so cool because the garage opened on Wednesday morning in preparation for that first practice at 6 o'clock. And Dale Jr. was there when they unloaded the car and they pushed it into the garage. And the emotion of he and the team and his family when they were able to get in on Thursday night, it's just been great to watch. And I'm real happy for him. And that will be a car that I know a lot of people are rooting for today.
Sam mentioned it, that being on the pole maybe isn't the help that it is at some other tracks. What is it about Daytona that leads to so many surprises in who ends up winning it?
Well, the draft is the great equalizer. There's no question about that, and that's one element of it. The other thing I would say is that we do have, you know, some pretty big wrecks here, and the carnage can be at a level where you eliminate some of your top contenders, which opens the door for some drivers that maybe didn't have the fastest car to put themselves in position because the competition has just been eliminated, so to speak. So it's played out a lot of different ways. I would say, too, some of your underdog drivers are just really, really good at this format. You look at it, Austin Cindric. These are just guys that have done it in recent years. Austin Cindric won here as a rookie. Michael McDowell won here with an underdog team in Front Row Motorsports. And I say underdog. I'm just talking about teams that don't have that deep-rooted NASCAR history with all the resources and finances. These are teams that are quite capable. And certainly Austin Cindric driving for Roger Penske, that element of it is not surprising. It's just that he is, you know, was able to do it as a rookie. And, you know, I look at Ricky Stenhouse Jr. that was able to do it, you know, a couple of years ago. So we have had the upsets. But I think when you look at the true history of this race, most of the winners are a who's who, your Hall of Famers, your champions, and those are the ones that typically circle to the front. And while the stats say winning the pole doesn't equal success on race day, I would also say you're going to see a lot of fuel saving today to spend less time on pit road so that you can gain track position, because being in control of this race is an enormous piece of being able to win it at the end.
Yep, he is the voice of CW's coverage of the Xfinity Series this season, Adam Alexander. And he is social. You can always find him at Adam1, Alexander. The back of the field is very interesting and intriguing to me. The names that are there, we see Martin Truex, and we see Jimmy Johnson, and Helio Castroneves. What do you make of the back of the field as they go to the green flag?
It really is remarkable. You mentioned Helio Castroneves. He's driving that fourth car for Trackhouse. four entries represented by drivers from four different countries, which is remarkable to me. As Shane Van Gisbergen makes his way to the Cup level, he's from New Zealand. Of course, he's going to run full-time for Trackhouse. You got Daniel Suarez from Mexico, Ross Chastain, who's a kid from Florida, and then Elio Castroneves. So you got four drivers from four different countries, which is an amazing story. And we all know Elio's background, right? Four-time Indy 500 champion, and for him to be in on this new provisional rule is a cool thing. So he's the 41st starter. Martin Truex Jr., first year full-time retired from racing. I say first year retired from full-time racing. Let me turn that around. But he comes back to run the Daytona 500 with Tricon. It's their first trip into Cup racing as well. He qualifies into the show. And Jimmy Johnson, a seven-time champion. So a list of who's back there at the back of the field. And you know what? They all did some things in their duel that would make you think they could be successful today. So those are folks that are going to be fun to watch. And if they could find their way to the front and win the race, my gosh, what a storyline that would create.
For people who are kind of jumping in on this one, since this gets a lot of casual fans to watch, who are a couple of the favorites that you're going to be keeping an eye on today?
I would say you have to look at William Byron, who won this race a year ago. Just someone that seems to be pretty good at Daytona and in the draft. Ryan Blaney is really good at this style of racing. I like Joey Logano, the reigning champ. He won the Daytona 500 2015. I think he's got to be on your short list. Chase Briscoe is displayed great speed, obviously starts on the pole. And a couple of cars that really impressed me the other night in the dual races, the teammates from 2311 Racing driving for Michael Jordan, Bubba Wallace, who won his qualifying race, and Tyler Reddick, who won the regular season championship a year ago and made it to the championship four. I got to be honest with you, I could go on and on and on listing drivers that I think could go out and win today because it's always wide open.
Yeah.
But those are a handful that I would say just top-of-mind awareness come up when I think about drivers that I wouldn't be at all surprised if they're celebrating at the end of the day.
But we're in Atlanta now. People want to know about Chase Elliott. After
well,
all,
okay, let's. You know what's funny is I did, and this is hilarious. You bring this up. I did a show the other day, and they said, "Who's your champion? Who's your Daytona 500 winner?" And I said, "My champion's Christopher Bell, and my Daytona 500 winner's Chase Elliott." And I just gave you seven names to watch today, and not one of them was Chase Elliott. And I'm on a show that originates in Georgia. That's how pathetic I am. You know?
Oh my goodness! I gotta get the background of some scoop on something that's kind of late breaking on Friday. You talked about Trackhouse Racing. Pitbull's pulling out of his association with them. He is going to perform before the race today. What are you hearing is the reason for that?
Yeah, you know what? That was an interesting one to me, and I was surprised and disappointed because I think he's been a tremendous ambassador for the sport and has brought a promotional side that we haven't seen, and really just a set of diversity to the ownership that to me was outstanding and seemed to be a great partner with Justin Marks, who's kind of the racer when you talk about the dynamic of that ownership group. Yeah. So that was surprising and disappointing. I hated to see that, but I'm glad he's doing the concert today, and hopefully he'll continue to make appearances because he's such a good spokesperson for NASCAR.
Absolutely, absolutely. Adam, we appreciate you spending some time with us this morning. I know it's been a busy and hectic week. Next up here at Atlanta Motor Speedway, man, looking forward to being down there, maybe getting a chance to run into you down there.
Well, if you're out there, please reach out. I always look forward to seeing you guys, and I appreciate you having me on, and hopefully we get this race in today and look forward to it and a fun season ahead.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Adam.
Thanks. Have a great day.
All right. That is Adam Alexander. You can catch him like on Amazon Prime this year, also on CW and Turner Sports, several different places to catch him. But he is busy and playing a lot of different roles.
Yeah, look, this is a busy time. It's an interesting flow to the NASCAR season for me, always looking at it when you have that Super Bowl of racing
at first. The start, right.
Yeah, number one. It always sets an interesting tone for the whole season ahead.
It really does. It really does. That's coming up later today. I tell you what's coming up real soon is right around the corner. It's Noel's World. Ooh, fasten your seatbelt, folks. You know what you're going to have. That is coming up. It is Sam. It is Jason with Noel Other Side of the Glass on this Sunday morning here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9TheGame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9TheGame.com. Sam Crenshaw, Jason Longshore, and Greg is on assignment. We don't know. We think he's at Bucky's. We don't know.
Greg is not on the ones and twos this morning.
He is not. Definitely
Noel
not.
Is killing it with the set list this morning.
And she is on it, folks. And, you know, it's that time. That time in the show we step back and have Noel take us into Noel's world. So, first of all, I mean, she joined us a little bit earlier, but she didn't join us the way she usually does. Can we get the usual greeting now?
Good morning.
There we go. There we go. You know, just, everything is wonderful. And it's great to hear that voice come way that way that after the morning that we've had. Those of us who were rudely awakened around 4:30, 5 o'clock this morning.
Yeah. I was just getting up and wiping my eyes, and I got a notification that said severe thunderstorm. I said, yeah, let me get out of here immediately.
Yeah, I got the tornado watch notification. I'm like, what?
Yeah, I got that one on the way here. I was like, oh, okay, yeah, great. Great time to get that warning. But we start this segment with Janet Jackson's What Have You Done For Me Lately? Because mm-hmm. we're going to have a contentious conversation right now around this city.
Uh-oh.
We're going to talk about our Atlanta Falcons GM, Terry Fontenot.
Okay. Ooh.
But y'all know me. I like to err on the side of positivity. So I had a strange thought, because that job is all about, you know, what have you done for me lately, right? Like, you can have one or two drafts, or, you know, you can go 7-9 two times in a row, and you can be looking for a new job.
True.
Well, as much as that's true, there's something else that's on the table for Terry Fontenot, if he can figure it out. Terry Fontenot has a very clear and easy path to greatness, to legend status. All you have to do is fix the pass rush problem.
Mm-hmm.
This is a 20, 30-year issue that we have been begging to be fixed by hook or by crook. Like, do you know what that resume would look in behind the people that's been in front of you, like trying to put this together, and you become the one guy that not only continues the Falcons' offensive legacy, but fix the defensive problem?
Yeah, yeah, that has,
like,
been here for
that might
some
be
time.
Statue worthy around here.
Oh,
you know,
easily.
I was going to say that. I thought it. You said it.
Yeah, like that. I mean, like, that's a long way. Getting an NBA championship, that's statue worthy around here. Figuring out how to get a complete football team around here, that is statue worthy. And Anthopolis is halfway to a statue at this point. But, yeah, this was just a random thought I had the other day. I was like, you know, he has the opportunity to do the funniest thing ever. Like, to turn this thing completely around and become, like, because you see how revered that the Eagles GM is right now, right? And how, yeah, you know, genius he looks going down to the University of Georgia and bringing all those guys in and going to get Saquon, because, in my opinion, it really didn't make any sense for the Giants to pay for Saquon. Pay for Saquon and then do what?
Yeah,
waste
really.
Saquon's time some more, give him a bunch of money? He's finally in a better place. So, that being said, I was like, man, if he can really take maybe the same philosophy he took with the offense and just draft the best player on the board and put them all together and look 5 years later and go, yep, we got an offense. If you can figure that out on defense, man, how revered would that man be in this city, even in the league? Like, that's something that the entire NFL landscape feels that can't or has not happened. I saw a stat the other day that was basically Matt Ryan's entire tenure. And the best two seasons that we had in that Matt Ryan era, in which, in my opinion, are 16 and 17, those are the best years you had a defense.
Mm-hmm.
And they was around 16th, 17th in the defensive pack. So, it, like, just being in the middle of the pack, see what the Falcons were able to do, get to a Super Bowl, almost get back to an NFC championship, versus being perpetually 29th, 30th, 31st, 32nd.
I saw a stat, and I don't have it in front of me, that, you know, it's not even 1 year that they've had a bad pass rush. It's not 5 years they've had a bad pass rush. I think they're last in pass rush stats over the last 20 years.
Yes.
Like, it's crazy.
Yes.
It's crazy. And right now, you've got this really interesting spot if you're Terry Fontenot, because ultimately he is vindicated for drafting Michael Penix.
Right.
I think ultimately that proves to be the right move. Everybody went nuts about that. It proved to be the right move because, like you said, and I think you nailed it with that, if you have an average defense and a top quarterback,
yep,
you can win in this league. If you don't have a top quarterback and you have the best defense, you're probably still not going to win.
Right, and the way he drafted, you don't just have the top quarterback. Yeah. You have the wide receiver that people are starting to feel like is the best wide receiver in the class. You got, I mean, the running back was a no-brainer, right? Mm-hmm. Like, the whole conversation with that was you just don't draft a running back at 8. It had nothing to do with talent and ability, like, insane. And then the Lions went behind us and did the exact same thing with Jahmyr Gibbs, and they're it's paying dividends for them.
Yep.
So, like, the only quote-unquote miss we could say is, like, Kyle Pitts at the moment, and even that was up and down. Like, you saw... You did see the flashes of what it could be.
Yeah.
You've seen, like, the bottom of what it could be.
Yeah.
Okay, fair. But let's say you take that same approach and you put it on defense and you hit 4 out of 5. How much better does this defense look?
It's going to be interesting because you're going into an offseason where Myles Garrett wants out of Cleveland.
Yeah. Yep.
Micah Parsons might be available.
Yep.
Trey Hendrickson might be available. Max Crosby might be available. I don't know if the draft is going to be your route, and the question is, can you get one of those big free agents or trades and find a way to get one of those guys in here to be what this team hasn't had since, what, John Abraham?
John Abraham.
Yeah. But at what expense do you lose some of the people that you have, especially on your defensive line? And we all talk about Grady Jarrett. We want to see him. I want to see him stay with this team. I think he's a heart and soul guy with this football team, especially with the locker room and this leadership that he provides. But he may be one of those players that he has to make a hard decision on, you know, if, you know, in order to bring what you're saying, you know, you really need.
You might have an offensive piece that you can move to upgrade on defense. And that would be, I think, the route you'd like to be in.
Yeah.
You know, it takes two to tango.
Right.
So you got to find somebody who wants something that you have. You might have to give up draft capital, and that's always the tough decision, I think, in the NFL, because the draft is so valuable. It's so important, but you never know how long your window is going to be. You know, we've seen it before with the Falcons where they've been close, and you can maybe sense the window's closing, and you got to go all in.
Yep.
Right now, I don't think you're at the window closing state in general with the way the roster's built.
Mm-hmm.
I think Terry Fontenot might feel like his window might be closing specifically. And does that mean that he goes and takes a big swing, a bigger risk to go get that defensive stud that this team needs? Because otherwise, he might be looking for another job.
I mean, yeah, and it has to be a stud. Like, you can't go out there and swing.
You got to go big
and completely miss, because that's going to be a whole problem in itself. But what if you did a combination of the two? What if you were able to, let's say, to your point, that there may be an offensive piece you could move and maybe get equal compensation back at edge, right? Mm-hmm. And then let's say if you draft one of these highly touted D tackles that they say is coming out in the draft. They say it's a draft full of D tackles. Well, now you got, you know, a D tackle for the future. And to your point, you kind of sold up the defensive line right now also to kind of hedge your bets and get the best of both worlds. We could see something like that also. But there's a lot on the table in front of Terry Fontenot, in my opinion. But what I don't want to happen, because he may feel like he's on the hot seat, is for you to solely make a swing to save your job and not have the franchise fully in view of what you're doing.
I feel like
for
we
now
saw
and
that
the future.
At the end of Dan Quinn's era.
Yep. Okay.
I think when he got that one more year, then it was short-sighted decisions across the board for people to try to get new contracts rather than what's good for the health of the franchise. I think Terry Fontenot's done a good job in rebuilding the health of the roster, rebuilding the health of the franchise. They're in a much better position over the long haul. But yeah, like, I do think his spot specifically is now probably in question if they don't win this upcoming year. And that can push you to take a bigger risk. But I think it's time. I think you've built the foundation to do it.
I don't disagree. I would love to see a big swing. I mean, that was the conversation that we were having about the Hawks last week, right? Like,
right.
A lot of people, it wasn't necessarily the compensation you got back, but it felt like for what you were packaging to try to move, maybe you could have made a bigger swing. And we did hear that they were in the talks for KD, and that just didn't work out for whatever reason. As we see, he's still in Phoenix, and that's still a mess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, to your point, it takes two to tango and all of that, but it just – It's just interesting if you can get one of those like average to big name players that either say they want out or about to hit that free agency heap. What can that look like? And does that three game sample size of Michael Penix and how he's able to control the offense, is that a selling point with you trying to get the free agent in here? Because that's the thing about the free agent, right? Like they gotta want to come here.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And I believe this would be a destination. I think they saw enough last season. It would have been even better if this team could have made it to the playoffs. But they saw where this team was at midseason. They can see the potential that we have here. And now with Penix in place, I think this makes it a very attractive place, for a free agent. They want to be here.
So. And we've been getting more free agents as of late. I mean, we got Matthew Judon and Justin Simmons and Jesse Bates III,
right,
to varying degrees of success. But they have been willing to come. So if you can, you know, whatever speech and trip y'all gave Jesse Bates III, put it on Max Crosby and see if it'll work and see if he can come on down here and get on his D-line and make something special happen.
When I think about a guy like Jesse Bates, I think of guys who sit back and they watch Atlanta. They watch they like the town.
Mm-hmm.
They like coming here to socialize and hang out. They like the lifestyle here. They just want the team to show, hey, are y'all serious about something? I want to come down here and know this.
I think they are.
Right, you know?
I think that question's been answered. Really do. This isn't, you know, the Falcons of old. I think with the young talent that you have a quarterback who can be a top quarterback in this league.
Yep.
He's young. You never know. But he's got the potential. You got a running back who can be the best running back in this league.
Mm-hmm.
You got a receiver in Drake London who I don't think gets enough love nationally.
Man, bully ball.
You've got the QB, the running back, the wide receiver. That should be attractive for somebody to come in and say, you know what, I could be the piece on the other side of the ball. Yep. I can be that star on the other side and put this team over the top. And you got to go sell it and you got to go do it. And I really think that Terry Fontenot's got to take a calculated risk to go get, whether it's Crosby, whether it's somebody else who can rush the passer. You've got to go now. Now's the time to do it.
Yeah, and if you want like that type of like fan like adulation and the excitement or like about you as a player, like being a top tier edge rusher in Atlanta is an amazing place to be. Like, could you imagine again, it's the same conversation we're having about Terry. If you can come in here and be a 14, 15, 16 sack guy 3-4 years, you're not going to have to buy anything in Atlanta.
No. I saw a lot of Vic Beasley jerseys during his time here when he had his 1 year.
Yeah, exactly. 15 and a half sacks.
A lot of people bought that jersey.
Got the Deacon Jones Award. And that's what we want to see more of. That's what we have to see more of, honestly, because we just saw in the Super Bowl what happens when you can move the best quarterback that we've seen in this new era of football. You've seen what happens when he's uncomfortable. And not just uncomfortable, but like every safety net, every bailout was covered.
Yeah.
You can't move up in the pocket. You can't roll out left. There's no dump off pass for you to get to. It was just chaos for 4 hours. And I kind of want to see that on my side, right? Like, we've seen our quarterback harassed enough. Matt Ryan was one of the top sacked quarterbacks in the league during his era.
Yep.
I want to be on the other side. I want to sack some people.
It's been a while.
Yep.
It's been a long time since
put a hat on a head. Hit somebody. Let's go.
It's past due. It would be funny to see how just people reacted to it. All of a sudden, we had this pass attack this defensive attack that really sacked people. You remember how it would sound in the Georgia Dome. And I always felt like last year, Mercedes-Benz Stadium was starting to become that weapon. Georgia Dome was such a weapon. That place was so loud. And they started to feel some of that last season in the new place.
Look, I hear it with Atlanta United games. That place has an impact on games.
Very much.
When you get that crowd going, you get that fan base going, it can turn a game for you.
Like,
but
that
the Falcons
Chiefs
haven't
game?
Had much of that.
Yeah. Yeah. We started to hear it. And, you know, hey, you want more of that in the coming season.
Yep.
And a consistent pass rush would do wonders for that. Be fantastic.
100%.
All right. Noelle's world. She got us all talking. She got us fired up. Now can we get it done?
Good luck, Terry. I'm rooting for you.
I am too.
Get some scouts.
Yay.
See you at the combine.
That's what we're looking for. That's what we're looking for, folks. Headed for the 8 o'clock hour. Stay with us. Terrell Thomas is going to join us. His update, tell us what he saw up in Philadelphia, and then some thoughts on the Hawks and this NBA All-Star weekend. But hey, we're going to talk a little Saturday Night Live and the casting call as well. Maybe a little bit of that, too, with Greg being away. But up next, something we started doing several weeks ago, three cheers. What are three things that made you happy this week? What are three things that made you frown? If you want to share yours with us, 404-726-0929. Three cheers. It's up next. Sam, Jason, and Noel here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.